third meeting of the design group. I think we made some definite progress at the last one. And come up with some interesting suggestions for our new remote control. I'll again very quickly just present some notes of that meeting. Now the problem with existing remote controls we felt was that they were ugly, and that people were prepared to pay a premium for something better. They've got lots of buttons on them that people don't use and find difficult to learn, and people lose them. We thought that for our new remote control that everybody will want to rush out and buy, that we should look at speech recognition rather than buttons, and that if you have any buttons there should be very few of them and only for those functions that are actually identified that people use. We want to go for a long-lasting battery that we guarantee for the life of the product, and a shape that will be instantly recognisable, A, as a trendy remote control, and B, as a real reaction product, so that when people are happy with that, they will want to buy everything else from us. So again, we'll have the three presentations from the three of you, and then we'll make a final decision. And the decision that we need to make today finally are what energy source we want to use, whether it is practical to use a long-lasting one. I think our discussion was around the fact that if we're going to go for a long-lasting power supply, then basically it's sealed for life. And if anybody does manage to run one down, we'll give them another one. And it will be prominently displayed as part of the advertising literature that it's for life, guaranteed for life. Now the internal chip, this is where I need Kate's expert advice, given that this has to go to market as quickly as possible. Do we go for a custom designed chip, or do we buy one off the shelf and program it ourselves? I'm not an expert on these things, but presumably there must be loads of them already on the market that we can modify. But that's your area of expertise. And then the overall design of the case is Kendra's field. And we had some discussions last time as to how we might go forward, and we'll finalise those today. This is all linked in with the user interface, so that we go for voice buttons or a bit of both. For the next meeting, Kate will be looking at the look, feel and design, Kendra, how the user actually uses it, and for, of course, the product evaluation. And Kate and Kendra will be producing a model for us to look at. So if we can have the three presentations again, please, and perhaps you'd like to start.
Okay. Talking about the components design. Okay, basically I just looked at what exactly the remotes do. Basically they wait for you to press a key or give a voice command, and then this is translated into light signals, which are then seen by the TV. The materials we're going to need to look at, the two big ones are the integrated circuit chip and the battery. And the integrated circuit chip works in conjunction with a diode, a transistor, a resonator, two more resistors, and a capacitor. And the battery works in conjunction with a resistor and a capacitor. Basically, what happens is you'll press a number or get a voice command, and this creates a connection within the remote that allows the chip. The chip then senses this connection and produces a signal in the Morse code format. This signal is sent to the transistor, which amplifies it and then sends it on to the light-emitting diode, and which is then changed into infrared light, which is sent to the TV and sort of seen by the TV, which changes the channels. So as for how we should end up using this on our remote, a couple of main questions are the buttons. The fewer buttons you have, I guess the few internal connections, internal codes you're going to need. However, to not have buttons, or to use a voice command instead of buttons, might make these connections more difficult and raise production costs. That's something we should think about. Also, we have to work within the company constraints, and the company is informed via email that they're experts at push buttons, and that seems to be the most cost-effective way of producing it. Also, with battery connections, the company has some limits on the batteries we can use, so I was thinking perhaps a combination of solar cells with a backup basic battery, and somehow doing a combination of that too, we might be able to come up with something that will last the lifetime, for the 5 to 10 years, and we can still keep that original idea. We also need some of the chips, custom design versus off the shelf. And the custom design will give us much more flexibility and enable us to incorporate the voice function that we all seem to have agreed upon. However, that's going to cost more, but the off-the-shelf is going to be cheaper, and it's going to allow us to produce it quicker and get it out there faster, but it's going to be less flexible with the features, especially things like voice activation, which haven't really been used much on remotes, so there's not really chips out there that would be easy to convert. So if we were definitely going to go with the voice option, we'd probably have to design our own chip. And that pretty much sums it up.
Okay, so hand one. Sorry, can you put that back up again, please?
Yeah.
Inevitably, a custom design chip is going to be more expensive. Mm-hmm. Do we know by how much?
I don't actually have any price information. No.
And do we know how long it will take to develop a custom chip?
A lot longer than an off-the-shelf chip. The problem is the voice technology is not really highly developed. It's sort of still in its experimental form. So it would it's hard to predict time.
Right. I think we need to make a decision here. Given that the company wants this on the market quickly and cheaply, that would appear to effectively constrain us to an existing chip, and thus therefore conventional button technology. Now before we go around, does anybody have anything to say about that?
I just have a question about that. Does it make a difference if there are just a few commands? For example, if you can pre-program in like numbers 1 through 10 and pre-program, say, 9 channels, and then just use the voice recognition to say channel 1, and then you've programmed in, say, BBC4 is your channel 1, as your favorites, like to have a certain number of favorites.
Just to incorporate the voice activation in it is sort of the trick. Once you've got the whole voice chip in there, then it's pretty much the world, either the sky is your limit, but to actually, the big step is to actually get the voice activation chips in there and working.
I find this is surprising, given that a mobile phone incorporates voice activated dialing. So, for a slightly different, well, no, it's if you speak somebody's name, it'll dial the number for you. So, well, I mean, this information is from, is this is the internal company information,
bits
is
of it,
it,
yeah.
So,
of course, mobile phones do tend to be more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, £150 or something. As opposed to.
Yeah.
Maybe
true. Again,
without
any price information, that's difficult to decide.
Yeah, lots of more phones have got a lot of technology in them, not just that.
Yeah,
so
that's right. It's you can't, because mobile phones are expensive, you can't say it's the voice recognition bit that these, but we don't know. Given that the technology is not well developed, and given that it's never been done before, the double risk, perhaps we ought to stick to buttons, since the last thing we want to do is present a product that doesn't work. Thoughts?
Another thought. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, maybe we could like cut corners somewhere else to bring it in lower cost.
I mean, do we think that the voice technology is fundamental to the project?
It's fundamental. Well, I mean, I guess it's something we've discussed since the sort of the beginning. So I think in our minds it's fundamental, but I don't know that the upper echelons of the company would necessarily agree with that. So I think.
I mean, I think we.
It wasn't the timepiece that crashed, but it just stopped recording. Like, it wasn't responding to anything I was pressing it. So, it looks like it's recording. So, let's try again.
Well, I kind of think if we're going to have the voice recognition for part of it, then maybe we should have it for the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's.
And we've been talking about it the whole time, and I'm in kind of inclined to say that we should just
go for
it. Okay. Take some information on finding. It's the second most important aspect of your service that. The device should be technologically innovative.
Yeah.
And so it's
from my presentation.
Yeah. So it should be
technologically innovative.
Right. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Sounds good.
Okay. It will have voice recognition. If that means, if that means we can't afford buttons, but I mean, second question: do we need the 5 buttons for channel change, up down, volume up down, and on off? Just as a backup, or so that people can just sit there pressing
buttons. I would say we do.
I think so.
Right. Okay, sorry, did you want to say anything?
No.
No? Okay, shall we move rapidly on to
Okay.
coming up? Rapidly move the table over.
Okay, so I did some research on the internet and what, you know, the user interface are just the aspects that are seen by users, commands and mechanisms for the operation, and they're just kind of a variety of choices. Findings, so a lot of times they tend to look cluttered, and these were just a couple examples of different kinds that are a little bit more unusual. There are some special ones available, like this one right here, which is marketed towards children, different designs. And one of the things that we need to watch out for is a V in volume, because people make a little picture of what I thought ours could look like. So just kind of minimize the clutter, avoid too many buttons. And also, one of the things that people have used is a slide button like you have on a mouse, that possibly we could use that on the sides for volume, for example, have a slide button on the slide. And then you can pre-program the channels, voice recognition, and then the voice response sample locator.
If I can interrupt you, well, okay, do you want to say anything about slide controls? I mean, I think the reason they use push buttons is that they're simple, cheap, and
I think they're about the same cost, really. I think it just sort of there's a lot of slide buttons out there. I think it's pretty much the same sort of connection.
Just because I'm, for example, if I'm using a mouse, I like to be able to slide it up and down. So I thought it might be good for volume to just be able to kind of roll it, and then have the up and down, and then the
So three buttons and a slider.
If you've got a channel locked down, you get the slider on as well. Because if you notice on the thing, it kind of like it's got kind of it kind of like sticks, you know what I mean? Up like one unit, basically.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes up one, then like you can keep going up, but it's like a column or something. So you kind of take it up one at a time.
Okay.
The only advantage I was thinking of to having the buttons, like the buttons on one side for the channel and then the slider, is that if you're just holding it in your hand and you pick it up, it's easy to know, okay, this is just the volume and
this is the
So I've definitely picked up remotes and like meant to change the channel and turn the volume or vice versa. So it'd be kind of good to have it feel completely different. You'd know what you were fiddling with.
Yeah,
I mean, this is what they have to come up with, is the actual shape that people instantly pick it up and know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're looking at sliders for both volume and channel change.
I was thinking kind of just for the volume,
just
but
the volume,
what do you guys think?
Depending on the final shape of it, because you could have like, I don't know, like where it's there, it looks like you can just control the volume with your thumb, and then you can control the buttons with your
fingers.
In that kind of position, the fingers would be better for pressing.
It seems to me that it also has the advantage that the two are clearly different. There's no possibility of confusing the two. So, okay. Right, so that's all you
want
to say about the paper file?
Yeah.
My important trend watching. The details come on the internet, from executive summary for us on the top three things wanted by the consumer. I've got reports from Paris Milan on new fashions. And the most important aspect is the look, it has to look fancy, look and feel. Instead of the current functional look and feel. And this is twice as important as the second aspect, which is the technologically innovative side of it. So, and the third thing, easy to use, it's probably a given that the player has to try and incorporate. So,
well, I mean, I think that what we're suggesting ought to address all three of those.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And from fashion watchers from Paris have said fruit vegetables are an important theme for clothes and furniture, shoes, etc. Clothes, shoes, and furniture. And a spongy material to use on the outside.
I thought of that, it's different, so.
Yeah. But I was going to say, fruit and vegetables are important to this year. Important to furniture. I'm just going to say, if we're going for the, it looks fancy, and fashion is obviously what we're going to be going through.
Mm-hmm.
But fashions don't last very long.
Well, that can kind of tie into our changing face things. Like, we could have fruit and vegetable theme this year,
and
whatever happens next year, we can have the face.
Get a spongy skin on it,
and
you can just whip that off. And
yeah, like the kind you get on like hand wipes. You know, that kind of
spongy.
Yeah,
that weird, I don't know what that is, but
kind of, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also means you drop it without damaging it.
Yeah, that's
true. Mm-hmm.
We could save, depending on the cost of the product itself, you know, could we have a cheaper power source and then just have it annually renewed instead of having a 10-year guarantee with interchangeable colours? We could buy a new one every year. You were when your fashions come out.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting idea. It's like the old Swatch watch, where how many batteries ever got changed in those, because people just bought a new one when it went out of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
This has never been seen as a fashion item before.
Mm-hmm.
If they're made in sufficient quantity.
I think it's easier sometimes to have them buy changeable colours for it than to buy a whole new one, because you don't feel like you're investing in a whole new product.
I mean, my feeling is that current power sources are such that for relatively little cost you can make it last, you know, a long time.
Yeah.
But if you also make it cheap enough that people either change the cover every year or even buy a new one every year, then it's even better.
What if we included the batteries in the cover?
Oh yeah.
So
that also kind of encourages them to buy new covers.
So can I say that thing? Just an example.
Yeah, the immediate thing that comes to mind with that is that you've then got the connection, and you've immediately got a sort of a reliability. Whereas the advantage of having it plumbed in is that the whole thing is all, you know, completely soldered together.
Yeah, I guess.
And total reliability. But I mean, I know what you're saying and understand where you're coming from.
Well, but like more than just the battery, like a complete different, like, you've only got this bit's the bit you keep, and this is expensive, but this is like the chip, and this is the microphone, and then this is the power source, and the that everyone sees, and then.
I think if we can go down that route, then we're talking about, even if it costs slightly more than that, just building the whole thing in one, and getting cheaper production costs, giving people the option of buying a complete new thing. The advantage of a replaceable cover is that even if it doesn't have a cover on at all, it will still work. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And if people lose the cover, I mean, they might be well inclined to go out and spend however many euros on a new one, rather than a complete new
Well, that's just it with the coverage, you're sort of tricking them into continuing to spend their money on our products without making them feel like they're being ripped off having to buy a new product.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
it's up
to
5 euro
to get. Yeah.
Yeah, basically it's up to our marketing people to turn it into a fashion item. And you know, as external fashions change, then we get new colours on the market, and you know, readily available.
And that's the sort of thing, once you get the mould set, you can just whip out different colours if
they're
like
they
have from our
quickly.
That's
right,
right.
Exactly,
yeah.
Fruits and animal print colour. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Right, sorry. You haven't finished your.
I don't have much else. I was going to say, are we going to make this part of the fashion supply to furniture? Are we going to make this part of the furniture?
It's the sort of thing that we want people to have prominently displayed on their coffee table to say, this says something about me.
This is fashionable.
This is fashionable. I know, I'm with it. I'm up to date. You know, the design that I've got, it could be a homemade design. You know, it says this is not just a television remote control. This is, you know, a fashion accessory. So I mean the basic shape is what we given that we've got, you know, one on-off button, presumably two buttons for channel change and one slider, and basically nothing else. We need to decide on the basic shape of the thing. Whether we go down the fruit and veg route, and I don't suggest we make it look like a banana, but sort of the organic, you know, curved look. No, to deliberately get away from the square look of most current remotes. And, you know, whether the fixed part of it is the corporate yellow, the corporate logo needs to be prominently displayed so that people look at it and say, well, that's a real reaction. Remote control, I want one of those.
I don't know that we should make the whole thing yellow. I kind of thought you'd have like a yellow circle with the RR in it
somewhere on it, but
yellow seems a bit of a strong colour to make it. Like the thing,
to incorporate the corporate logo prominently. This is the whole point, yes. You know, I've got a real reaction remote control to get my real reaction copy maker or whatever. And then people demand more real reaction stuff.
Well, I was sort of kind of picturing like maybe a shape that's almost like a mouse. So that, you know, when they hold it, it's because a mouse is pretty comfortable to hold in your hand. Maybe we could make it a slightly different shape so they could hold on to it, but that way they can have the volume on the side and then the channel buttons and the power, whatever, somewhere.
I mean, that was just an
idea that I had.
As I say, my idea was probably a bit fatter than this, but that sort of shape.
Never a mouse, because a mouse you're kind of just resting on it. You want something you can definitely grip.
It's sort of a
combination.
Yeah.
A mouse, but held.
Yeah.
You know, so you can hold it in your hand like that.
Fiddle around with it.
Maybe a little wider than this, because this is pretty comfortable to hold. And then if you had
maybe almost like a hairbrush, like you'd get the width of that and the pen, and it widens up top,
and wider
and
up here, and then it would have a wider thing to have the light, the infrared light at the TV, and just kind of change channels and adjust the volume. The power could be forever up the top or something.
Yeah. Cool.
What do you guys think about that?
That sounds okay. Yeah. I'm suddenly realising that we're discussing how good it's going to be to change channels. So we still can't just tell it to when we start to get away from the voice functionality.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
That is a very good point.
I think we decided that we're actually going down both routes.
Yeah.
We need the manual controls, and that they should be of that form.
Yeah.
But that's
Do you know this shape also kind of lend itself to voices? Because if you're holding it and you're fiddling, that you can also bring it up like that.
Yeah.
Maybe we've got like we're leaving out the buttons for the if less frequently used stuff, but maybe they can incorporate that into the voice.
I honestly, my personal view is that if it's not there, people wouldn't use it anyway.
I suppose.
Yeah,
it was really off chance that, you know, that the brightness is wrong, the contrast is changing.
It's certainly possible. I mean, but we're going beyond. Given the state of the technology, we want something that we know will work.
We can still incorporate the voice with less buttons. I mean, if the power button was also somehow like a menu button, you could press that and or do voice commands, and the volume thing could also be to scroll through other options, like, and you could scroll through brightness and
yeah, I suppose
and you can minimize the buttons and still have those, you know, brightness and tint and stuff.
I'm getting a clear message that we think that we should have those facilities available.
So I guess we could have a menu button as well. We could have the channels and the power and then a menu button and then the volume. So we have four buttons on the volume instead of three buttons on the volume.
Okay, if we're going down that route, then we need some sort of display. Do we need
the
some
television?
Sort of
yeah, the
television.
Yeah, that you can probably
okay.
Yeah,
then
hit menu,
okay.
And menu will come up on television
okay.
And have like tint brightness,
okay.
And you can use the scroll through it.
Yeah. Oh, also like a mouse, the scrolling button is actually a button as well. If you press it,
yeah.
You can press that.
Yeah,
that's true.
Press that is.
Yeah, I've never understood how that worked though. But yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's like the mouse where you just kind of click it. You just press it. Yeah, and you could just click that to. So if you had like the menu, then you could scroll through and then click it to select.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, we've got 5 minutes to go in this meeting, so I think we've actually very conveniently just come to a good point to sum up. Kate and Kendra now go away and play with a bit of fantasy or Play-Doh, whatever it is on the other side of the Atlantic. And actually put what we've discussed into something, I was going to say concrete, but that's a slightly inappropriate word, to something that we can see. And everything can go away and think about how we can actually market this as a concept and not just a simple remote control.
Can I just get some lines clear from you?
Yes, certainly, of course.
Our energy source is going to be
long-term. I think we decided that we're going to, for the simplicity of, you know, manufacturing and maintenance, that we will go for a long-term battery source.
Cool.
I know on the basis that you know, if you're going for making a fashion statement, then people are more likely to change it anyway before it runs out, and make an assumption that we can aim for a battery that will last most people for let's say at least 5-10 years, and that we'll guarantee it for 5 years.
And we're having a custom chip.
We're having a custom chip, but given the we've cut the functions down, that will hopefully not be too problematic, but given that technological innovation is important, then we need to, let's say it again, technologically innovate. we must resist any efforts to try and water that down.
And interchangeable case.
Interchangeable case seems to be important to the concept. It should be cheap, you know, if we avoid any, you know, electrical connections. If we can come up with some way of allowing people to actually personalise it to whatever they want, then this is totally new. We don't know whether. To what extent people will do it or not, but if they've at least got a good selection of covers that they can use anyway, and then if we can keep them, you know, rolling, then so they get in the supermarket when they get into any of the famous supermarkets, I won't mention any names, it's good for the supermarket, it's good for us, and it makes them feel better.
Cool. And are we gonna have it being illuminated from inside onto the button, so?
I mean, that's no, because we've got so few buttons that that actually makes that redundant.
Mm-hmm. It does actually make that too. Yeah, and especially if we're making them so like different
to feel. And that solves one of the problems of battery life, because
mm-hmm.
that would be the problem of the battery life. So, given the nature of the buttons we're having, it's actually unnecessary, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm having it that it's any angle, or is it just.
As wide.
Yeah.
So certainly wider angle than current, so that if you're holding it, you know, anyway,
mm-hmm.
like you're likely
like
to,
this.
It will work most of the time. I've got like my mummy points it at the ceiling and the television doesn't work. I sort of envisaged that if this was the thing, then sort of the whole of the top would be
infrared. Like
yeah.
Mm.
So
we could use like
so
this and
it'd
go or.
Yeah. Because the reality is people are, they're going to be looking at the television whilst they're using it, the chances are. So if they're holding it anyway that they're reasonably likely to be holding it to use it, then that's the sort of coverage that we want. Okay, are we all clear?
Yeah,
okay. Where we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thank you very much indeed, and I'll see you all again in 30 minutes.
Okay.